Hey, it's Citizen Cosmos. We are Serge and Anna, and we discover Cosmos by chatting with awesome people from various teams within the Cosmos ecosystem and the community. Join us if you are curious how dreams and ambitions become code.
Okay, so today we will chat to Con, who's one of probably the most active members on Cosmos that I know. He's the co-founder and the conductor of Forbol, of Desmos, and Big Dipper Explorer, and I believe much more. So maybe, Con, maybe you'll want to introduce yourself and add other things that I missed out. Tell a little bit about yourself to everybody.
Hello, everybody. I'm Con, and I'm based in Hong Kong. I'm the co-founder and the conductor of Forbol, and then I think most of the people in Cosmos know about Forbol because we are a validator on Cosmos Hub, and then we are also validating different networks which built with Cosmos SDK, and then we are also validating some other networks. Right, so we are developing Desmos, which is a social media network protocol that developed with Cosmos SDK, and then we are maintaining Big Dipper.
Cool. So let's talk about Forbol first. I'm gonna maybe, I have some information that you think I might not have, but I've done my homework, both of us, me and Anna. We think we read about creative works, right? Is that correct? So
all
you
right.
Found it in 2005, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, 2005.
And I've read that it was a solution and marketing company. So what I wanted to understand is how you got from solution and marketing to validating on Cosmos. How did that happen?
All right. So yeah, I was in digital marketing, and then I was working like a vendor for many companies, for brands and companies. And then we thought of some solutions, and then we helped them to promote the brands, promote the products using digital solutions. So we built a lot of apps, built a lot of websites, some interactive installation in some, you know, some venues. And then, so I acquired a lot of different user experience and marketing knowledge during that period. And then, so in 2017, there's a client, he asked if we have any idea on building IoT solutions. And then we started studying IoT, all right? And then when we study IoT, we found out there are some solutions on IoT that are talking about using blockchain on IoT, okay? And then we started studying, okay, what is blockchain? And then I heard of Bitcoin, I heard of, you know, but I didn't really know what blockchain was. Then I start studying, and then Terence is my partner. And then, so Terence and I find out that, oh, we can build decentralized network, decentralized applications on blockchain. And then if we can achieve that, then we can build a decentralized social media that we can get rid of Google, we can get rid of Facebook. Because when we was in the creative works, when we were working as a digital agency, we helped a lot of companies and brands to, you know, placing ads and then, you know, like infringing users' behavior on Facebook and then placing ads on Google's. And from time to time, we didn't like that. We just think that it's not right to do that, but we didn't know how to change that, because it's like in the market there is only such kind of solutions that can push the economy move. And then, so until we find out what blockchain was, we started studying if we can build a decentralized network using blockchain. And then this is how we found the Forbol. So Forbol is actually, yeah, right. You cannot find it in dictionary, right? This is not a word, if not a word, because we would like to build a social network with some philosophy that is for, and then F-O-R is for, and then B-O-L-E is actually a Mandarin. Bole is like someone who can pick a talent. Four bo means someone who can pick a talent. And then we would like to start building a social network that build on business so that someone can pick a talent and then refer the talent to some businesses like that using blockchain. All right, this is how we get into blockchain.
That makes sense. I like the name. I didn't know that you had a story behind the name. That's really interesting. So it's like a mixture of an English and a Mandarin word. That's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
Did you come up with the word you together with your partner?
Yeah, with Terence. Actually, Terence came up with that.
So, and do you have the big idea behind it? You know, what the idea that drive you to do what you're doing?
The idea behind? So, because we were in digital marketing industry, we were a digital agency, and then we were tired of helping those brands to like infringing user behaviors, infringing users' privacy. So we would like to stop that.
Yeah, it's one of the biggest problems.
Is there something though personally that drives you, like for example, not as a digital marketing company, but what personally inside of yourself makes you do what you want to do?
All right, so actually I love social media. I want to say social media is it's what we do every day, and then it's what we communicate with people, and then we think that if there is a way that we can introduce our friends, our family, our fellows, our students to anyone that we like, we trust, and then we can refer them to a good position, then we are actually helping people. We are actually bringing them maybe to a bit better future. So we would like to some kind of generate that kind of behavior, that kind of like ways of doing things. So like how you give and then to help people.
Yeah, I see. So this is a lot where we agree, I think, on the values that we have in cyber as well. But anyways, back to how did you choose Cosmos? I mean, did you feel that it was going to be successful? Did you like the technology?
So it was 2017, late 2017. I started to really make my hands dirty. So I started coding and then started coding on the social network. And then I originally started something on Ethereum, just like anybody else. When I first studied about blockchain, it was the time of Ethereum. And then I started coding something on Ethereum, and then I found it's not possible to work like that. It's just not possible to make the social network work. And then I started to think, is there any other solutions? And then I looked around, I did some research, and then I found steemit.com. I think a lot of people know about Steemit, and then Steemit is a platform for writing blogs, and then it's all on blockchain. I was very surprised. Why is it so different from Ethereum? And then I started to take it out, and then I studied that there is consensus algorithm or consensus engine called Graphene, which is the consensus engine using on Steemit. And then I studied about proof of stake. And then I thought, if there is a way that people can use proof of stake with the consensus engine and build a steemit.com, then is there any other similar solutions or product that I can use to build my own network? And then I started looking out with the consensus engine, and then I found Tendermint. So I started learning Tendermint, and then I learned about Jay Kwan and even Buckman. So I watched their videos, I've read their papers, and then I liked the research. And then I started watching more videos, and then I found out one video that they talked about Cosmos. So it was the late 2017, and then it was like maybe November or December. So it's like 7 or 8 months after the Cosmos fundraiser. And then they talked about building a Cosmos SDK in order to build the Cosmos hub. I logged into Cosmos SDK, and then I think, and at that time I thought this is the right solution for building networks, because I was in digital marketing and then I built a lot of applications, and I understand that with an SDK which you can extend, which an extensible SDK, you can build a lot of different stuff quickly, easily, and then eventually developers can focus on user experience, but not those protocol or those P2P layer or, you know, the consensus. And this is what I like. And then I started studying if we can build a network using Cosmos SDK. Okay, so I started reading Cosmos SDK and then started to build the software for the social network. And then I found out that if I have to run the network, I need validators to run the nodes. Then where could I find validators, right? Because from my digital marketing background, I knew that if I have to approach anyone, then I have to understand my audience. So I tried to learn to be a validator. And then, so in late, I think it was late March in 2018, I joined the Cosmos Validator Wide Chat and then started chatting with the people there. And this is how I started to become a validator.
That's interesting. But you guys became a very influential validator and you validate quite a lot of chains, is that correct, in the Cosmos ecosystem?
Yes, yes.
Did you plan to for such a big thing to become like as influential as you are today, or you just wanted to get experience?
I just wanted to get experience. And then but I learned a lot, and then I don't know, but maybe because I'm a guy that I like to share. So when people talk, and then I just keep answering people, and then I became quite familiar with the node operation, familiar with the security behind, and then quite familiar with the networking, the infrastructure, and then what the validators should do. I still remember there was an interview from Tendermint in June or July 2018. Yeah, at that moment, I still talked to them that I have no idea on the business model of validator. I know nothing about business on validator. I just want to explore that and then see how it could help on building our social network. Yeah, but then I do found that, and like, so for validating Cosmos Hub, it is a must for us, because if eventually I build my own social network and then we would like to use Cosmos Hub as the hub for IBC, then we have to be a validator on Cosmos Hub. I mean, then, yeah, because we would like to use Cosmos Hub as a hub to connect our network and the others using IBC, then we believe that we have to be a validator on Cosmos Hub, because we have to be a part of that. We need to be a stakeholder of the hub, and then we have to help securing the hub. So we decided to be a validator on Cosmos Hub, and then so we try our best, because we didn't have any atoms, we didn't join the fundraiser. We didn't have anything, so we try our best. So we participated in Game of Stakes, and then we were in a place on the final winners, and then this is how we started validating Cosmos Hub.
Cool. Just in general, how many people are you talking during the day?
You did mention that communication is very important, and I'm curious to know how much time per day you spend on communicating with other people.
Wow, like any time. And then because, yeah, you know me, sometimes I'm in some channels, I'm in some forums, and then I'm in some groups. And then so like, but back to 2018, it was like 24 hours every day. But now we yeah, but now of course we spend more time on different networks, and also we have to spend more time on Desmos.
Before we get to Desmos, though, I wanted to ask you about the Big Dipper before we get to Desmos, because obviously it's obvious that Big Dipper isn't just an explorer, it's kind of an application already. You can see that, and it's, if not the best explorer with the most information, it's one of the best explorers that I think is used widely by everybody. Why did you make it? What was, I mean, there is the obvious answer that you made it to get some traction and everything, but what's the inside of why did you decide to do an explorer and not a different application?
Actually, it was not for traction.
Oh, sorry, my bad, my
Anyway,
bad, my bad.
yeah, but it was interesting because, so still, in the mid 2018, we were building our own project, and then we need an explorer to see what's happening on the chain, on our testnet. So at that time, I remember there was only Hubble running on Cosmos testnet, and then it was not open sourced, and then there was an open source Cosmos Explorer from Tendermint. I think Peng Zhong did that, build that, but it was not what I really want to read the information of validators and the block information. And then so I think, why don't we just build one for ourselves? Then we start building that. So it was like June or July maybe in 2018. We built a very simple one that we can read all the blocks and then make sure to display the voting power and then the priority of the validators. It was very simple. But then, I don't remember when, maybe July again, there was the Cosmos Hackathon 3 maybe? Yeah, Hackathon 3. The topic was validator monitoring and alert tools. Then I thought, well, why don't we just make some changes on our Explorer, and then add some features on alerting, and then maybe change it to really can monitor the validator's performance on Cosmos testnet, then submit it, open source it, and submit it. And this is what we did. So we changed some code. We changed it to be more Cosmos Hub. We changed the Explorer to be more Cosmos Hub, that you can see the validators, you can see the blocks, see the changes of the validators after delegations. You can see how those, maybe at that time there was still more on the block information. And then you can see which validator missed any block. And then we submitted another application for alerting, which monitor the log of a validator and send an alert to Telegram. So it's like it's actually a Telegram bot. So we submitted that, and then again we were we won a place in the hackathon, and then. Yes, it became the first community build open source Cosmos Explorer.
It's interesting to see how things evolve when they evolve organically. They evolve much better than when they're pushed
Yeah,
to make.
maybe. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe. And then it's very interesting. People never ask why Big Dipper is red.
Why is it red?
It's red because the primary color of FOBO is red. And then we were trying to use that to monitor our chain. That's why it's red. It's red. Because a lot of different applications, they were trying to build a style or a theme that is more cosmo, like some galaxies, more cosmic views, or a little bit darker and purple. But no, it's red. Because it was an explorer. Which it was an explorer from FOBO. And then I was pretty happy that because the deployment for Big Dipper is pretty easy. And then so I still remember in November 2018 probably, there was a crypto Seoul in Seoul, so in Korea, Seoul. And then it was it was the after party of the event. And then on that day, there was a new Cosmos Hub testnet online launch. And then I could change some configuration and then deploy a new version of Big Dipper and monitor that testnet. And then in the party, Josh, Dodgemos, Josh, he could show people, yeah, we can see the a new testnet launched like that. So it becomes one of the first open source community build Cosmos Explorer.
That's very cool. What are your plans for Big Dipper? Do you have any plans for it?
Yeah, I would like to, of course, we keep it open source, anything, everything. And then I would like to build, well, as many people see, we have added some wallet integration, the ledger integration on Big Dipper. And then we would like to create another application that is like a companion to the Big Dipper, which is a separate standalone delegation application. So you can use that to see, to read the data from Big Dipper, but you can use that platform to delegate your asset and then to manage your asset. And then it's a multi-token, multi-asset platform.
That makes sense. I have a question. You said you talked a lot about Desmos, and the first question I'm going to ask is going to be a little bit devil's advocate question here. As somebody who is building a project on Cosmos as well in an organic way, I can tell that maybe I'm wrong here and correct me if I'm wrong, but you guys, it looks like you guys have a very organic approach towards the marketing of Desmos. And the question is, how do you, I mean, obviously we can see in the blockchain space, a lot of projects come in spending shitloads of money on marketing and on, you know, useless, absolutely things. Do you think that projects like Desmos that go for the organic approach in terms of marketing, especially being a social network, have a chance against those projects who spend tons of money on marketing?
Well, I don't know, but we would like to try. And then this is what we think we are different from others. We just don't want those projects with, you know, a lot of VC supporting, you know. We think that a decentralized network or decentralized application belongs to the users. If we get a lot of money from investment, from venture capital, then they will eventually control the application, control the platform. What if we can do a bottom-up approach? We bootstrap it, and then we let more users to use it, try it, and then within the engagement, within the activities, they can start minting some values. Well, actually, those tokens will be minted by their engagements. So it's like they convert their, it's like this wet capital. They convert their work done, their workload, into some values, and then we reward them back in terms of tokens. So we don't really need any capital back if we have users, and then we believe in that. And then the whole economy is actually built by the users, but not the venture capitals, but not money, but not, you know. So we don't really need those money on marketing. Instead, if we can show people what is going on the network, what is going on in the applications, and they can use it, and I think, yeah, we can grow organically.
How many users do you have now?
Well, how many users? I didn't check, and then but we are still in very close beta, so it's like 100 something, maybe.
Oh, it's good for the beta version.
Still in early stage, because our testnet only run for 4 months.
It's been already 4 months. I thought you're doing it less time. Time flies by.
we launched the testnet on right before Christmas, I think. And then but we started releasing the Mooncake app in February.
Again, I'm going to carry on with a slightly provocative question, so don't mind.
no problem. Yeah, go on.
How is for the average Cosmos user, I mean, let's say half a year from now. Oh, no, let's go a year from now. A year from now, for the average Cosmos user, how is Desmos gonna make their life better?
I cannot guess, and I don't really know. But this is what I think we have to do. I don't believe in a centralized social network or application empire like Google or Facebook anymore. And then I think what we are providing is a new way. I believe at the end, a lot of users, they don't really know about, they don't really need to know about blockchain. They don't really have to know about the details on the protocol or the tokenomics. And then at the end, they only have to use the applications. And this is why we built Mooncake. And then because Desmos is the network, is the protocol. Maybe validators or developers, they do need to know something on Desmos. But at the end, I believe like end users, maybe they just download Mooncake and then start chatting, start uploading pictures, start replying messages, and then at the end they could get some rewards, and then they may even, this is in my mind, maybe they can even like capitalize their personal data somehow. I don't know yet. And then so your question was how the existing Cosmos user would be benefited with Desmos. I really don't know. Maybe if we only talked about Desmos itself, maybe like the transactions between different networks using IBC, Desmos to the hub, maybe they would generate some transaction fees for the existing Cosmos users. But I think at the end, the target group, the user group of Desmos is not only the existing users on Cosmos, but we are looking for how maybe anyone that using internet, they don't know nothing about blockchain, but they have a phone, they have a desktop, they can download an app, and then they start using. That's it. Maybe one of the benefits is we are trying to more people, or we are trying to get more users on the whole Cosmos.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, onboarding via simple and understandable applications. Okay, so because I know that you are very opinionated in a good way, I read some of your articles and I follow what you guys write. I have slightly another even more provocative question. I don't know if you remember, a while ago there was a proposal on the governance working group, and along with Google and Cyber, you were one of the validators, of the big validators. Sorry, we are small, you're big.
not so big.
Still, who had a different opinion, and you explained your opinion very well, why you voted no. So, and I really like that, because I'm not gonna like ask you about again about why you voted no, because you explained it already, but it's really cool to see that. So the question is slightly different. How do you see what's or perceive what's happening in the Cosmos governance today? Do you think what's going on is good? Is it bad? Do you see it going, in your opinion, in your personal opinion, maybe a different way, maybe going the wrong way?
So there is something I would like to try, and then I would like to see how that would happen if we change the way of governance. Well, I will apply that on Desmos, and then it's like a test. So basically, I think there is a flaw in the design of the governance. So why people with more stake have more power? This is my question. So if everyone, yeah, because everyone, every atom holders, they if they have the rights to express their opinion, why not each address have one vote? But one address with more stake, with more voting power, is counted with more votes, more casts. You know, you cast more vote with more voting power. I think this is not correct. I think this is a flaw in the design.
Do you know how to change it? Do you have any ideas?
What I'm thinking is like, yes, we know that there are validators, right? And then there are delegators. And delegators, not all of them would come and vote. So I think still validators help representing the delegates to vote. So how about we count with the number of delegations if voting from the validators? So in that sense, then like for example, we have 406 delegations, then we have 406 vote, And then, like, if you look at like Binance currently, they have more delegations because they have lower the commission. So they currently 2.5% commissions, and then they have more delegations. But at the very beginning, during the proposal 23, I remember they had around like 5 delegations. So they are holding 9 million voting power, right? But they can only vote for 5 votes.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Yeah, they are not representing a lot of people.
But do you not think it can be abused in terms of... I'm just curious about that idea. It sounds really interesting. But it sounds like it can be easily abused, no? I mean, like, if I, for example, want to give you more voting power, I just transfer you 50 times. Are we talking about unique addresses, right?
Yeah, we have to think, of course, this can be easily manipulated. And then we have to think how we can, like... minimize that problem, I would say. And so I'm still thinking, but this is of my very basic idea, not using the voting power as the number of votes. That generates a lot of problems, I would say. So currently, it's too easy to like make a conclusion on the proposal. And then if the validator or the one that proposed that proposal is not active or is not popular in the community, I saw that basically there is no conversation in that proposal, maybe. And then suddenly when a proposal is proposed by someone popular, then maybe there are a lot of discussion, and then it's just too easy for some of the stakeholder to make the proposal enter the voting period and then start voting, and then they may have some high stake, and then it's too easy to control the result.
It's interesting that you mentioned it, because about somebody popular making a proposal, and you mentioned Stimit before as well, and I'm very well familiar with Stimit. For one, I was, when Stimit launched, I was a very popular writer on Stimit for a while, and obviously the team behind Cybers launched Golos, which was the first fork of Stimit, and so we know very well how Stimit works. But it's very interesting that you say that, because I remember very well that one of the biggest flows on Stimit and Golos was when somebody popular writes a post, people just go and upvote it because that guy is popular, regardless of what is inside.
Yeah, then they earn a lot of money.
Yeah, exactly. And this is exactly the same problem that we see in governance. And this is something that is, it's good to see that people trying to have innovative approaches to try and adjust it to a more decentralized fashion, to a more decentralized manner. To carry on talking about governance and similar things, I mean, I don't like to spread rumors and don't consider my next question to be in that direction. But obviously all of us see different things that between the Olinbits and the German GmbH and so on and so on. So as someone, as an onlooker, do you think that gets in the way of Cosmos development, or do you think that is something that doesn't affect Cosmos and technology is technology first of all?
I don't think it would affect. Well, maybe in the first off period, there is some influences, but I think in long term, it is a better organization, I would say. Yeah, I believe in decentralization, and then, yeah, we don't really need one company to build that. And at the end, a lot of the development was done originally in Germany. And then it's just the same group of people. And along the whole year, we see a lot of different teams. They get funding from the ICF, or they have their own way to get fund to build something that interesting, and then they contribute back to the Cosmos ecosystem. I don't really think it would have some bad influence. Instead, I think it's pretty good results, actually. I think in the long term, it will benefit to the whole ecosystem, because it's like demonstrating a new way of collaboration in a community rather than one single company controlling all the decisions. And then I think in the long run, it's even better.
Yeah, I agree. Moving from all those like politics, okay, let's call it decentralized politics, and all of that. You mentioned decentralization and projects a lot, and it sounds like you, as Forbel, because you obviously validate everywhere, and it sounds like you evaluate projects a lot. I'm interested to hear if there were any projects lately that you've seen in blockchain generally that surprised you?
Well, I do like Arcash. You know, Arcash, they are building on top of using Cosmos SDK, and then they're given a direct solution to a lot of to developers because they're building a cloud platform. And then as developers, you can just work like usual, and then you can deploy your application on the cloud, on a shared cloud eventually. So I kind of like that idea. It's like collaborating with different people. I always imagine if there is a world that everyone in the world, when they connect to the internet, they can be a part of the internet. They can be a part of the provider, you know? And then I think Arcash is kind of doing that way. So at the end, anyone can share their bandwidth, that can share their storage or their computing power for a cloud-based application.
It's an interesting project. Is there any non-Cosmos projects that you think surprised you lately? Because obviously Akash is Cosmos SDK, so maybe something outside of Cosmos.
If you talk about outside of Cosmos, I think the most familiar one to me would be Solana. Yeah,
Well, what do you
Solana.
like about Solana, out of interest?
Well, I think Solana is more technical side, I would say. It's extremely fast. And then I really like the team, the development team, and then they respond very fast. So, but people would say, hey, validating on Solana seems like require a very powerful machine. But again, a GPU, but it's just like a sidebar, right?
Yes.
Well, I think that they have a roadmap to launch an other tier of, not validators, but you can be a part of the network that you can share the storage because of the high transaction throughput. There is a lot of data. And then they have to store in, so the ledger is pretty large. And then they have a roadmap to launch another kind of nodes that you can share your storage and.
So, one probably last question, and going back to Cosmos, but what are your plans for IBC? Are you going to launch your own models, or are you just going to support the network, secure the network?
For Game of Thrones, we are planning to run our own chain using Desmos software, using Desmos. So we would like to run a Desmos network, a testnet, as a participant in Game of Thrones. We are actually integrating the IBC branch on Desmos, so I think we are pretty good. On the progress is pretty good, and I think that we can really run a chain, an IBC-enabled Desmos during Game of Thrones, and then it helps us to test software as well. And then, yeah, because the IBC we are using, actually, we are trying to make people where. From other chain, they can use their key, and eventually they can write a message on Desmos. And then we have the identity from another chain, and then we can prove that you are someone on the other chain writing a message on Desmos. And then so it's a cross-chain posting message. And we are also thinking, we're also discussing with other people in different region, and then see if we can form as a team, not just Forbo solely as Forbo with some other friends or individuals in some other regions that we run Desmos IBC enabled chain together as a participant.
You know what? I thought it was gonna be the last question, but I have one more question. Everywhere you have the avatar with the guitar. Tell me, do you play the guitar? Is it a hobby, or is it you in the avatar with the guitar?
Yeah, that's me. That's me. Yes, my hobby.
I'd
I'm not
like to
professional.
find out. It looks like you're very good.
I just love that. Yeah, I just love music. Yeah.
What's the brand of the guitar?
Fender.
Benda, yeah, it's the good stuff, huh? Okay, cool. Thanks for your time, and thanks for sharing all that information. It's very cool to hear insights about the projects that we've all been, following for a while, and I think people will enjoy finding out all the insights that you spoke about.
Okay, thank you.